Welcome to the Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine Ingram, and we are the co-founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
The purpose of our ministry is to encourage people to get out with God so that they can heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord. Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to Journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection, and we're on day 16. Before we get started, I want to remind you to look in the description and find the two links there. One is for the Lenten calendar that has all the links to all the scriptures that we're talking about over the 40 days of this journey. The next link refers to the companion download, and that is just a deeper dive every day about what we're talking about in the podcast. So it updates on a daily basis, and we just keep adding the next day and the next day and the next day. So make sure you download it often and refer back to it.
Yeah. By the end of this thing, they'll have all 40 in one document.
Cool? Yeah. So do you want to read today's scripture?
I would love to.
Awesome.
Today we're looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, and I'll read from the NIV. It says, "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you."
There's so much.
Why do we pick these scriptures?
I don't know. We need like an hour to unpack them. More.
You can't unpack this in an hour.
No. Days.
Days, yes. So let's do a marathon podcast.
We've known each other for how many years now?
4 years.
4 years. Mm-hmm. And I knew none of this when I first met you.
And you're not alone in that, because it wasn't too many years before I met you where I didn't know any of this.
And it was like mind blown.
Yeah.
And it was hard to wrap my head around, so I'd love to dive into a few areas if you'll...
Yeah.
Because I know before I realized this, I often thought, well, why did God do that? Why did that person die? And why did that person live? And why is that person healed? And all of those things. And What happens when we go to heaven? Like there's all that stuff. And why do we get ill? Why? If it's, you know, you read, what is it in Numbers, I think? Is it Numbers?
What?
Where you read about how old people were.
Oh, yeah, Genesis and the genealogies.
And you're like, 900 years old? Why are we not living that? Mm-hmm. And so, you read all of those things, but I would love to unpack why we get sick, why our bodies get sick, and why our bodies, according to Scripture, why Adam and Eve died.
Well, Adam and Eve died because of sin. And what's interesting, there's a really cool perspective that I heard one time is, you notice from the beginning in Genesis when they give the genealogies, the ages of people were extremely long. But as you progress through the generations, each generation got shorter and shorter and shorter. And the perspective that I heard one time from a teacher was that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, before they sinned, they were perfect. They didn't know death. They didn't know sickness. They didn't know anything other than the perfection of God. When they sinned, that was a brand new thing on this planet. And it took 969 years for Adam's body to learn how to die. And then each generation after that, it became more common. And so there was a less of a transition. And so each generation became shorter and shorter and shorter. Mm. And I don't think Adam lived 969. I think that was Methuselah. It was the oldest recorded person in the Bible.
Besides the one that never died.
Yeah, wow. Yes, and his age is still counting.
And who was that?
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
It's okay.
It's going to come to me. It was Methuselah's father, Enoch.
Enoch.
Yes, it was Enoch.
And he didn't die because?
He walked with God, and then the Lord took him. Mm. And so he never saw death because he was God's man.
That's good.
His heart was for God. And he walked with him and talked with him, and just like Adam used to do in the garden.
That's good. Well, I know there's a lot of people that are facing a lot of, you know, you hear about cancers, you hear about just all kinds of illnesses. There's a lot, I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah.
And what I know now is that yesterday we talked about Acts 3, my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
We have been given that authority to heal our bodies and to heal others with the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that speaking to my body and telling the devil to
take a hike,
you're not allowed. This is God's vessel. This is God's temple. You're not allowed to reside here or in my house. Speaking that over my house and over my body and over my family has made a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And then talking to my body, like, knees, you're not going to be sore today. Knees, you were healed.
Yep.
You want to?
Yeah, there's so much scripture about that. And we really have to go back and look at Jesus' ministry. And that was the bell that he rang when he went into a town that got people's attention. Mm-hmm. Because he went and he healed all of them, all the sick. There was only a few places that he went where he couldn't. And it said that he could not because of their unbelief. He could not. Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, could not heal them.
Because they didn't believe.
Because of their unbelief. And so that opens up this whole issue for us. Because in the scriptures, it's very plain that he delegated that authority to us. He says, you go into all the world, you heal the sick, you raise the dead. And then he said in, what's the scripture reference? He says, the works that I do, you will do, and greater works than these. And, you know, we can't even think about greater works. Let's just deal with the works that Jesus did first, and then we'll worry about the greater
about
works.
Those.
Yes, because most of us as believers are not taught what the scripture says. We're not taught that we have the authority of Jesus and that, well, 1 Peter 2:24, I quote often, Peter is quoting Isaiah, but there's a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 53:5 says that he bore our sicknesses, he took our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. Peter takes that scripture from the Old Testament and he says, he bore our sicknesses, our diseases, and by his stripes we were healed. So both of those men on different sides of Jesus' crucifixion are pointing towards it.
Yep, so Isaiah was prophesizing.
Prophesying ahead.
Ahead.
Peter was reflecting back.
And then that scripture, it's just that one word changed. And I know a lot of people will quote Isaiah 53:5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear a lot of 1 Peter 2:24.
No.
It's almost like they don't realize it.
And it's interesting because we tend to believe what we see. Mm. And we believe what our experience has been. And we have to learn to switch that around.
Mm-hmm.
Because God, in God's kingdom, in his economy, The world says, of course, I'll believe it when I see it. God says, no, believe it, then you'll see it. And that's the hardest thing. And in my transition from a relatively religious method of thinking, I was taught by many different types of churches a very unbiblical way of thinking. And I had to relearn how to believe something as if it was real before I could see it.
Mm. I remember I used to just pray. I'm like, well, we need to pray for this. Mm-hmm. And it was my agenda. And I remember someone saying, I was going through my divorce at the time. I'm like, well, we need to pray for this needs to be fixed and this needs to be fixed. And my friend Tammy, she says, well, we're going to pray for God's will. And mm-hmm. we know that it'll be better than anything that you are hoping and asking for. Mm-hmm. So I always think of that, even if we don't see what we think we're supposed to see, know that it's still being worked on. And sometimes that's unanswered prayers that we have or wishes. I mean, he wants to fulfill the desires of our hearts. But sometimes it's always going to be better than what we
always
have hope for.
Well, and that's the thing, because you have to base your prayer on his word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you're praying for something that you are not believing from his word, you're not praying in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to believe it when you pray, and then it'll happen.
So
you believe first while you're praying, and then you see the manifestation of that prayer in the reality of the physical world.
And I think if he had answered that prayer that I had,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't be having this discussion right here.
No, it would have been all bad.
I wouldn't have met you.
Yep.
And really it was, I want to be loved, mm-hmm. was the bottom of that whole prayer.
Sure.
And so God's like, okay, wait, just wait. Be patient. Wait. I'm like, no. Now. My agenda. Here you go. It's like you look at a menu. It's almost like I was looking at a menu in a restaurant saying, okay, here, serve it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, I will, but it's not going to be exactly as, so you need to believe and you need to trust and you need to have faith.
Mm-hmm. And what is it that you're believing and trusting and having faith in?
God.
And what he said.
His promises.
His promises. Like, for instance, if you were to take, say, for instance, healing. The way that I was raised in the churches that I was in, they taught that you pray and ask God for healing, and you hoped that he would say yes. But when you look at the word, what does the word say? God's word, his will, says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And that word healed there is saved. In other places, that same Greek word is translated saved, which is healed, delivered, prospered, and forgiven. Okay, so when Jesus took his stripes 2,000 years ago, I was healed, I was prospered, I was delivered, and I was forgiven. 2,000 years ago. So let's take the analogy here of car keys. Say you wanted to borrow my car, and you walked up to me and you said, honey, I'd like to take your car. Can you give me your keys? And so I hand you the keys. Well, a few minutes go by, and you walk up to me, and you say, honey, I'd like to take your car. Will you hand me the keys?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, I know I handed her the keys. Why is she asking me for the keys? Does she not remember that she has the keys to the car? It's the exact same way with that method of teaching. We were taught to continually ask God for the keys to the car.
He must be like, stop.
He's probably sitting on his throne looking at Jesus saying, I know I put it in there somewhere where I've already given it to him.
Why aren't they just
believing it and standing up and receiving that and saying, okay, I have been healed. So body, God said, you are healed, so be healed in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And then not backing down for that until your body comes into alignment. And I'll never forget the moment I finally got through my thick skull, I was instantly healed. Mm-hmm. I had broken my neck and suffered for 25 years with intense pain.
You're like, whoa.
Daily. And to go from that to pain-free immediately was just absolutely astounding. And I was thinking to myself, self, how dumb can you get and still breathe? Because that word had been there the entire 25 years that I'd been suffering. And yet, because of the teaching that I had, I couldn't see it. I didn't know I had the keys.
You had to keep praying, or praying to someone so that they could intercede for you.
Well, yeah. Thinking it was up to him whether or not he chose to heal me or not.
So instead, we should be asking God to help us, asking God to just help us remember his word and to stay in relationship with him, continue.
Absolutely.
Forward. And then that will remind us that we have that authority. And we don't just need to keep saying, heal my knees, heal my knees, heal my knees.
No, we have to thank him, because you have to believe that your knees are healed more than you believe that the pain that your body is telling you. Mm-hmm. In that particular instance.
And I know, we started with my little toe, remember?
Yeah. Start small and work up.
I had that toe that was...
Start with a headache or a hangnail.
I know it sounds funny, but remember every day I was talking to my toe in the trailer. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my goodness. And the toe is actually corrected. And mm-hmm. I was in excruciating pain from that toe.
Yep.
From all those foot surgeries I had. So that's when I was like, whoa, I don't feel that pain. And it did take a little bit of time, because I don't know that I fully grasped it or I fully believed. Because it was all new. You're like, wait a minute, this seems a little hocusy pocusy. When you start thinking about it, you're mm-hmm. like, at least I was thinking, this is not something I've ever heard in my 50-something years.
And it feels really weird to talk to your body.
It feels weird to talk to your body.
It does.
And to pray out loud. I'm not a prayer out louder very good. I'm learning, I guess.
You do great.
But what I love to do is pray over someone. Mm-hmm. Pray healing over someone. And some people, it's not always received well. So you have to...
No.
So you don't need to necessarily lay hands on someone, but you can pray for someone, even if they're like, that's weird. Don't touch me.
Yeah, and I wish I had the answer to it completely. But there are times in my life where things are corrected immediately. And there are other things I have to stand and I have to fight. Mm. And what am I fighting? I'm fighting my own belief, really. Because my body is telling me, it ain't fixed. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm telling my body, yes, it is.
Sure.
And I'm trying to maintain that image in my mind of knowing that it's healed, when my body's saying, no, it's not.
Well, then you have the noise of the world saying, wait, take this pill, do this thing. And you have doctors that are like, no, are you off your rocker? Mm-hmm. And you need to do this treatment. You need to do this stuff, the thing with the stuff. And so you have that noise. But what I loved, one time we were talking and someone said, well, what do I do when I have this x-ray that says this? Mm-hmm. And you said, that's a good way to help direct those prayers, but also to speak to your body. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's what I've arrived at with my thinking on it. Because there are times where you still have to go to a doctor, and the doctor may not give you the news that you were believing that you were going to get. Say, for instance, on that x-ray, they found some growth or a tumor or whatever, or some problem. Instead of reacting and saying, oh my gosh, what I do is I say, oh good. Now I know the specifics of how to speak to my body and how to pray and thank God for the healing. Because I know that 2,000 years ago, He knew what was coming, and he healed me through Jesus.
And that first report is not the last.
And the first report's not the last report. God has the last report.
Yeah.
And his word is the final word. And his word says that by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. That's where I keep my thinking. And then if the doctor gives me bad news, oh, great. Now I know how to speak to my body specifically. Because before it was just pain or whatever. Now I know very specifically how to speak healing over my body and how to thank God for the healing that I know.
Because it's already happened in the spiritual.
Oh, yeah. We are 100% healed in the spirit at all times. So the belief and the faith is what opens up the pipeline in between the spirit and the physical. We could go on like this for hours and days. I hope it's been an encouragement to somebody out there, because
it's the foundation of our ministry.
It really is.
And it's love and healing.
Well, and just when you take it back to the fact that it's all because of God's love, that he did this for us, and that he gave us that ministry of spreading that love to other people. Mm-hmm. Healing is one of the ways we do it. I've gotten to lay hands on people and pray for them and see their healing just like that. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing. When Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, yes, I'm thankful for the healings that I've gotten. But man, you want to see a blessing like you've never seen before? Go lay your hands on somebody and heal them from something they've been struggling with for a long time. You will be blessed beyond measure to see their reaction and their gratitude and their just the realization of the fact that God loves them.
And interceding in prayer. Mm-hmm. We get so many praise reports.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
I do, too.
People ask us to pray, and then a few days later, or a few weeks later, a few months later, they tell us, oh, we forgot to tell you.
This happened.
This happened, or this happened.
Or they were healed. Or
we got a good report.
Yeah.
Got this good job, or whatever the praise report was.
So good.
It's so awesome to know that you can intercede on someone's behalf, not just in prayer, but in the reality of their lives.
Sharing the word.
Yep. Planting the seeds.
It's good.
Letting the word grow. So speaking of prayer, I think we better just cut this off, because we could go for a very long time.
Forever on this topic. And we'll be talking more about it.
So. Yeah. And because this is so important in our ministry, you're going to hear a lot of that. You're going to hear a lot of this. It's going to be something that we try to get ingrained in your brain. You have the car keys. God gave them to you. You already
stop
have.
Stop asking.
Stop asking and just
start
thanking. Start thanking him, knowing that you have the keys. So why don't you pray us out, baby?
Okay. Lord, we come to you tonight in full gratitude and just so much thanks for what you did over 2,000 years ago when you gave your beloved son at the cross so that we could be healed, so we could be saved, so we could be forgiven. By his stripes, we were healed at that moment. Mm-hmm. That moment when he said, "It is finished," to Tetelestai, we were healed.
Yes.
I ask tonight that we remember this. We never forget it, and we put you first and foremost every single day, and that we remember that we were healed. We don't need to suffer. We don't need to be in pain. We don't need to be sick. We don't need to feel shame. We don't need to feel isolated. We don't need to feel unworthy. You love us unconditionally. We can't do anything more, anything less. You're just going to love us exactly the same. Because we were healed, we were forgiven. I ask that those that don't know this, that others that do know it, breathe life into them. They are a light for those that may be in the darkness, those that may have shame, those that may be in pain, that they can see that light, that they can come out of that darkness and be healed, be forgiven, feel worthy, and know your love. Again, we just thank you for everything that you've done for us. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in your precious name. And everybody said,
Amen. Well, thank you for sticking with us. I know we kept you overtime today, but I hope, it is our hope,
that it was
that you
it.
Were blessed and that you will receive this word and put it into practice. Shall we leave them with some peace?
Some perfect peace?
Yes. Shalom, shalom. We'll see you next time.